All right, Genesis chapter 12. It says in verse number 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee of." And that's exactly what Abram began to do. And he left the land of... All right, he left the land of Ur, and he headed up. But on the way to Canaan, they hit a detour, and they landed in the town of Haran. There they were in Haran. And Abram waited, and he did not go into the promised land until what event happened in his life? His father died. And we know that from Stephen's account of the story. What we're not completely sure about is if his father physically died right then and there, or if it was that Abram knew that his father was going to die in Haran, and he wasn't coming with him, so he might as well get up and go to where God had sent him. And so we find our place today in chapter number 12, and we saw where he was. Look at verse number 6, and Abram passed through the land. Oh no, I want to read verse number 5. "And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan." Now would you read this with me? Here we go. "And into the land of Canaan they came." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can be in church tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help me. I pray that you'd help me to make the message clear, that it would speak to our hearts and challenge us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, Abram's begun to walk by faith. This is an exciting moment in his life. He didn't know exactly where he was going to end up when he started, but God has now led him to the land that he's going to give him, the land of Canaan, the promised land. And here Abram begins to dwell in the promised land. We look at verse number 8. "He removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of," what town? Bethel. "And he pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east." And who remembers, Bethel means the house of God. So there Abram, what's he do? He builds an altar unto the Lord, and he calls on the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. It's interesting, Abram for really the rest of his life is going to travel up and down the land of Canaan. We're going to see him actually leave a little bit tonight. But he's going to travel up and down all in this land that God has promised to give him. And Abram, he becomes a nomadic herdsman, but a very successful nomadic herdsman. As Abram travels all over the land of Canaan, his cattle and his livestock begin to grow, his wealth begins to increase, and things really do well for Abram as he follows the Lord in the promised land. But tonight, if last week we talked about faith's first steps, and we saw Abram begin his journey of faith in following the Lord, tonight we find Abram in a place where his faith is about to falter. Abram's faith is going to falter. Now, Abram's entered the promised land. As we are beginning to look here into the rest of chapter 12, we look at verse number 10. The Bible says, and if you're going to jot some introductory notes down, here we go. Verse number 10, "And there was," what happened? "A famine in the land." In what land? The land of? In the land of Canaan, there's a famine. It says there was a famine in the land. This is the first test of Abram's faith, isn't it? This is the first time a difficulty comes up as Abram's entered the promised land. Henry Blackaby makes the point that this is a severe test of Abram's faith. And you and I as believers, as we follow the Lord by faith, we're going to find that there are severe tests that come into our life, right? But you know what's interesting? Mr. Blackaby points out that the severe tests of our faith, they're not severe in the eyes of God, are they? They're not. We look at them as severe trials, and Abram and his wife Sarah, they're not used to this. They've never experienced a famine. Just like you and I, we come to places in our life where we're experiencing something that we haven't experienced before. I've never come up against this family problem. I've never come up against this financial situation before. I've never come up against this professional place that I found myself in. I've never faced this situation before. And it's at that moment that our faith is tested. And we, like Abram at times, come up against those tests and those difficulties, and sometimes our faith falters, doesn't it? Sometimes we draw back instead of boldly claiming the promises of God. And sadly tonight, that's what we're going to see in Abram's life. And you know, another thing that was pointed out is that we never fall, when we're walking through the valley. Why? Well, obviously, we're at a low point. There's nowhere else to go. When is it that we fall? We fall on the mountaintops. We fall when things are going well. Our faith begins to falter sometimes when things have been going well, but all of a sudden God puts that test in front of us. God puts that famine into our lives. And that's what happens here. But what we're going to see is we're going to see tonight Abram go through a trial. We're going to see him fail. We're going to see him falter. We're going to see him fall. We're going to see him mess up. But then you know what we're going to see? We're going to see, like the writer of Proverbs said, a just man falls 7 times, but he rises up. And that's the difference between a person who walks by faith and a person who walks in the flesh. When we walk by faith, there are going to be times when our faith falters. But the question is going to be, are we going to get back up? Are we going to move forward in our walk with the Lord? And we're going to learn some lessons from Abram's life tonight. So let's begin into our notes. We'll have us jot some things down. First of all, we're going to do this. We're going to see two places tonight. And the first of those is Egypt. Now, Egypt is a long way from the land of Canaan. It's across that Sinai Peninsula. Egypt is not where Abram is supposed to be. But the test of faith comes, and it says in verse number 10, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. Egypt is where faith fails. Egypt is where faith fails. Did you know? I didn't realize it. But this is the very first time in all of the Bible that Egypt is mentioned. Right there, if you like to make notes in your Bible, Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 10 is the very first mention of Egypt anywhere in the Bible. And it begins a long list of mentions. In fact, Egypt is mentioned over and over and over and over again throughout the Scripture, both as a literal physical place, but also as a spiritual place. In fact, you will even find Egypt compared to Sodom back way, way forward in the book of Revelation. Egypt is mentioned oft in the Scriptures, and here is the first instance. In Egypt, if you're a student of the Bible, you'll know that Egypt is almost always a picture of what place? The world system. Egypt is a picture of the world. Egypt is not a good place for God's people to be. Egypt is a place, let's think about it just for a minute if you know your Bible, Egypt is a place where time and time again, God's people went for safety when they should have put their safety in whom? In God. You find it later on. You find the children of, you find the nation of Israel when they're in danger, when God is going to bring judgment. God says to the king, if you'll stay put, the Babylonians are going to conquer you, but if you'll stay here, you'll save your lives. But instead, what did the king do? He said, no, I'm going to flee down to Egypt. And the Bible talks in the book of Isaiah about those that put their trust in Egypt. And so throughout the Scripture, Egypt is a place where God's people put their trust instead of following God. And that's the world. Aren't we tempted to put our trust in the world instead of trusting in what God has for us? That's Egypt. Egypt is not only the place where people put their trust instead of putting their trust in God, but Egypt is the place of bondage. Egypt is a picture of the world. That's the place where God's people were in bondage for over how many years? 400 years. And it had such a bondage and such a hold on them that even when they came back out of Egypt, they kept looking back to Egypt. This is the first mention of Egypt in the Bible, and it's not a good place for Abram to be. And I want us to think about Egypt. I want us to think about it as it's typified in the Bible. It's the place of the world. It's the place that we're tempted to go to instead of turning to God, and it's the place that we're tempted to go to that's going to keep us in bondage, and it's going to hold us back. And that's where Abram finds himself. Well, how does Abram fail? Two things about this trip down to Egypt. How does Abram fail? What goes wrong, and what lessons can we learn from our lives? Well, let's see again. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt. I know, look, I got a lot of tired folks out there tonight, and I don't blame you. I've been there myself. I'm going to ask you to participate a little bit, and that'll keep us all alert and engaged. There was a famine in the land, and Abram went, say it with me, down into Egypt. You always go down into Egypt. Down into Egypt to sojourn there. Where is Abram supposed to be sojourning? In Canaan. God never told him to go to Egypt. There's so many things we could say about this. We could talk about the fact that where is Abram calling on the name of the Lord? Where is Abram seeking the Lord? You'll see over there at high points in Abram's life, it's always recorded that he makes an altar. He calls on the name of the Lord. We're even going to see that later. But nowhere here does he seek the Lord about the famine. He makes a decision. And so we could say so much about it, but let's start with this. He forgot the promises of God. Okay? He forgot the promises of God. God said, go into the land of Canaan. So Abram says, I'm going into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan he came, but he didn't stay because he forgot. Hey, Canaan is the place where God told me to be. There are Christians all the time who make a mess of their life. They follow the world's ideas, the world's solution, when they don't realize, hey, this is where God brought me, this is where God put me, and this is where I'm going to stay. I'm not going to forget that he's been faithful. Hey, any person, listen, somebody says, well, I don't know, in our marriages, people say, well, I don't know if I married the right person. Well, let me ask you this. Did you say a vow? Yep, then you married the right person. And that's where you are. And you know what? That's the place of God. That's the will of God for our lives, and that's where we're going to stay, in the will of God. When trials comes, when difficulties come, that's the place of God. Did God call us to be a part of a local church? Come on, did he? He did. So when something happens that I don't like or some difficulty, wait a minute, this is the place that I've been called to be. This is the place that I'm going to stay. God's called, I could do this, we could go on and on and on and on and on and on. God's called me to be a father. God may have called you to be a mother. God called you into different people's lives and he put you in a place. Don't follow the world's idea. The world says, hey, you just do what's best for you. You find a solution that's going to work out for you. Hey, you're going to be tested. Don't forget the promise of God. He didn't promise it's all going to be easy, but he promised that with the temptation, he would also make a way to what? Escape, that you may be able to bear it. And it's through times of severe testing. You know what? Abram is not going to get the time back that he loses in Egypt. And we're going to see tonight some things happen in Egypt that are going to affect him for the rest of his life. But fortunately, he's going to come out. He forgets the promises of God. But this, it gets worse. And whenever we take our eyes off the Lord and we get our eyes on the world, we get our eyes on Egypt, what happens? It starts to spiral. You've heard about the slippery slope, right? You've heard about, as the prophet said, that Israel had become like a backsliding what? Yeah, like a cow trying to make it up that steep and that embankment, that slippery embankment, and it takes a step, it falls, and it slips back, and it goes further and further back. And that's the pattern in our lives. And you'll see one thing leads to another. So here's this bright idea. I'm in trouble. Instead of claiming the promise of God, I'm going to Egypt. And it came to pass, verse 11, that when he was come near to enter into Egypt, he starts to thinking. He starts to thinking. I don't know where that comes from. Who says that? He starts to thinking. I reckon. All right. Abram begins to think. And Abram says, you know what? At least this is what I start to think, and Abram was starting to think. He says, I know about those Egyptians. And I know that they don't have any fear of the true living God. And I know that they're a rough bunch. I know that they're a perverse bunch. They're loose in their lifestyle. They're loose sexually. They're a mess. And this could be a problem. And he, as he thinks about it, he says to Sarai, his wife, in the middle of verse 11, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife. And they'll kill me, but they will save thee alive. So he says to his wife in verse 13, say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And so somehow Sarai, she says, okay, let's do this. Now you know what? They had to concoct a plan. In Abram's mind, because he forgot the promises of God, he found himself in a position with people that were hostile to him, people that didn't care about him. And he knew that. He knew that well, and he knew that clearly. That if he was in Egypt, he thought, I've got to be in Egypt. There's nothing else I can do. Here I am in the land of Egypt. But these Egyptians don't care about me. They're going to see my beautiful wife. They're going to want my beautiful wife, and they're just going to take her. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't want to get killed. If they're going to take her, they're going to take her. If we make up this story, at least somehow we'll kind of get through this and I'll at least get through alive. You know, I didn't have this in my notes, but I just kind of thought about it now as I'm going through here. You realize, Christians, when we turn to the world, and we know the world doesn't care about us. We know the world would just as soon chew us up and spit us out. The devil doesn't care. We make compromises out of convenience, and we throw ourselves into a system that is completely against us because we forget the promise of God, and that leads us, secondly, to the fear of man. He forgot the promises of God, and then it led him to the fear of man. What's the famous verse in Proverbs about the fear of man? The fear of man what? Bringeth a snare. The fear of man bringeth a snare. What's a snare? It's a trap. And every time that we're more concerned with what he thinks of us or what they think of us, every time we're more concerned with their opinion or what they can do to us or how they can affect us, we walk into one of Satan's traps. And it brings us further and further down. The fear of man bringeth a snare. And Abram, who serves the God of all gods, omnipotent, omniscient, he can do anything, he knows all. But instead of fearing God, he fears man. But it's really interesting now, thirdly, he forgot the promise of God, he feared man, but then he fell into a false security. He fell into a false security. How? Maybe you can glance at the verses, just the brief verses again. How could he have fallen into a false security potentially? Look what happens in verse number 16. So his wife is taken into Pharaoh's house, but verse 16, he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants. Now nothing's happened yet. Pharaoh's servants see this woman, they take her into Pharaoh's house, and now Abram probably gets a little bit worried. He's a little bit concerned. And can you imagine those conversations when Abram and Sarah see each other again after that? Oh boy. But you know what? For a little while, nothing happens. And there's this deep anxiety that's probably building up in their hearts. But you know what? Now it's happening all of a sudden. Abram and Pharaoh, and Sarah, they're all getting along now. Because he says, hey, she's my sister. And, oh, okay, come on, live in the king's house. And Abram, let me give you some stuff. And man, Abram starts getting loaded up. I mean, if he wasn't doing well before in Egypt, now, okay, what's it say he gets? He gets sheep, oxen, he asses, men servants, maid servants, and she asses and camels. He gets the livestock. He gets the camels. Pretty cool. And he's got all these servants that are just given to him. And you know, for a short time, nothing happens. Nothing bad happens. Everything's okay. I've seen that. You've seen that in people's lives. People who come to a difficulty, and instead of turning to God, they run to the world, and I've seen their finances do just fine. Huh? I've seen things sometimes get a little bit easier. Nothing really. No calamitous events come in and just bring their house crashing down. That's why the psalmist says, fret not thyself. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. It's just a principle in life. Listen, prosperity is not a sign of the blessing of God. Prosperity is not a sign of the blessing of God. If we enjoy prosperity, we should give honor to God, but never equate prosperity or success with the blessing of God. There are many people that have walked away from the Lord to pursue a better job, a better career, and have been materially blessed and fall into a trap, a satanic trap of false security. But eventually it will all unravel because that psalm finishes, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down and wither as the green herb. Fortunately, though, God's not going to let Abram get cut down. God's not going to let Abram's life wither, because despite his failure, despite his difficulty, in just a moment we're going to see the gracious and loving, chastening hand of God come into the situation. Well, let's read on. It says, we'll back up to verse 15. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her, commended her before Pharaoh. The woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And we saw verse 16, Abram gets all the goodies. But verse 17, before God is merciful, the Lord plagues Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Can you imagine poor Pharaoh here? He's a wicked guy, but he doesn't even know what's coming, right? He's like, and you know how God's plagues are. I don't know if Pharaoh wakes up one day, he's like, what is crawling all over me? What's going on? I got these boils. And we don't know what the plagues are. And then another one. He's like, all my cows died last. What is going on in my life? What is happening? And he realizes, it doesn't say if God told him, or maybe somebody else was like, hey, I think I know why this is happening to you. Who knows? One writer was like, maybe Lot spoke up and saw what was going on. It's like, Sarai there, they're a little more than sister and brother. There's a little bit more to the story. We know later on that was a half-truth. I think chapter 20 is going to show us that they were half-brother and sister. But there's a little more to the story, and Pharaoh somehow finds out, whoa! This is Abram's wife. I'm in big trouble. Now, God's merciful, because who knows? If Pharaoh had found out earlier, maybe he would have just killed Abram and taken Sarai. Life gets complicated when we step out of the will of God, doesn't it? Life gets more and more complicated. Families get more complicated. Relationships get more complicated. Everything's more complicated when we step away from God's plan for our life. And it's a simple plan. Follow Him by faith. Each and every day, walk by faith, walk by faith. So Abram forgets the promises, he fears man, he falls into a false security. But then let's think quickly, and do this briefly, who did Abram fail? Well, ultimately we know he failed his God, right? When we fail to follow God by faith, all sin is against Him. That's why David said, he said to the Lord, against Thee and Thee only have I sinned. But he didn't only fail his God. I thought about some other things. He failed his wife, right? And you could say his family. He had his nephew with him. He failed those people. And in fact, there's a very serious, permanent situation that's about to enter into Abram's life in Egypt. Because there's a new person added to the family, or added to the staff in Egypt. And do you know who that is? Hagar. We're going to see Hagar in a few weeks. But Hagar is a new servant girl that comes into the house, and because the Bible says, where are you getting that from? The Bible says she's an Egyptian. So I'm just assuming this is where Hagar joins the family. She becomes a close servant in the house of Abram. So Abram's going to deal with consequences of this sin for years and years to come. And he fails his family, he failed his wife, fails his nephew Lot and Lot's family. Remember, Lot had daughters too. You remember that? Everybody's watching Uncle Abram. And he comes to a point of failure here. And then who else does he fail? He fails a watching world, right? He has an opportunity in Egypt. Even when he makes the mistake, you know what? He could get there and he could say, you know what? I've made a mistake, and I'm getting up and I'm leaving. But he doesn't. He stays and he lingers. And now, what has to happen? Verse 18, Pharaoh calls Abram. And he says, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to meet a wife? Now, behold, thy wife, take her and go away. Get out of here. Go! Just leave! And what can Abram say? Nothing. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him. He gets an escort out of Egypt. And they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. that would have been a low point in Abram's life. A low point. Can you see him? Sure, he's got servants. He's got cattle. He's got the camels to ride on. But he could sit real tall on that camel and ride it out, but he probably felt this low. As everybody knew, his wife, who in the New Testament says had tremendous respect for her husband Abram. But at this point, Abram's lost his credibility in some ways. The world has watched him, and this is the man who represents God. And the hypocrisy that's there. And it happens to us. We don't expect it to come. We take our eyes off the Lord. We throw ourselves at the mercy of the world. The world has no mercy. The world beats us up, turns us around, and then sends us out. And instead of the name of God being magnified through our lives, his name is diminished. And that's what happened to Abram. His faith has faltered. He's failed. But God's not done with Abram. That's the whole point of this. I mean, do you know something? These stories are not what we read about in the New Testament. You go to the book of Hebrews, you read all the references to Abram by Paul, by James, by Jesus. You read all about Abram, and you know what you don't hear about? You don't hear about Abram messing up in the land of Egypt. You don't hear about Abram making this mistake and that mistake. You don't hear any of that. What do you hear? You hear that Abram was a man who walked by faith. And he is revered all throughout the New Testament. We look back to him as the father of all that believe. Why? Because what's about to happen is chapter number 13. And chapter number 13 is going to change everything because he went down to Egypt, but now it's time to get back to Bethel. Back to Bethel, back to the house of God, and we will see Abram's restoration. You know, we don't hear about these mistakes in the New Testament. We don't hear about that because it's just like is said in the Scripture, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed thy transgressions. And Abram's sin would be blotted out because of his faith in God. And you and I, we come to these points. You could look back tonight and you could see a time of failure or a time of mistake and a time where you just blew it and you felt bad, you felt low. You said, I messed up. I'm just not a good Christian. I'm not a good mom. I'm not a good dad. I'm just not good at anything. And that's when God wants to do his work of restoration. So let's learn a couple lessons about that. First of all, we're going to watch in chapter 13, Abram is going to renew his walk with God. How does he do it? Verse number 13, here's how he does it. First of all, and Abram went up, what did he do? Out of Egypt. Out of Egypt. Now, fortunately for Abram, he really didn't have much choice. They kicked him out. They threw him out. But you know, God's people sometimes, the saddest thing is not to see a Christian falter in their faith and make a mistake and sin. That's not the saddest thing. The saddest thing is to see a Christian go down into Egypt spiritually and never come up and get out. And it happens that people fall or are brought down by sin in their life and they stay there. And we'll see this actually much, much further in the book of Genesis, but in the New Testament there's a story about repentance. And we know about another man who made some mistakes in his life, and he sought after repentance. He was sorry that his life had gotten messed up. He'd made a lot of mistakes, but he never truly repented, and his name was Esau. And that has happened to many Christians who are sorry they made a mess of their life. They'd be the first to tell you, yeah, I really messed up. Yeah, I really did it. But instead of turning to God, instead of being like a just man that falls seven times but rises up again, if we can fall into the trap and the pit of self-pity, where we feel sorry about our situation, sorry about our circumstances, but never leave Egypt. Just get out. What Abram learned is about to do is he's about to leave his past where? In the past. He's going to leave his past in the past. He's going to, in New Testament terms, forget those things which are behind, and he's going to press forward. He's going to press on to the promise that's before him. There's a prize for Abram. And Abram, verse 1, went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, all that he had, Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold, And he went on his journeys from the south. Ready? We're in verse 3. Went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel. Unto, I want you to see this now, unto what? The place where his tent had been when? At the beginning. Now, I said we leave the past in the past, but forgive my inconsistency here, but sometimes we've got to go back to where we started. And Abram went back to that place, and it was a physical place for Abram, but he went back to the place when he was where he was close to God. He went back to the place. He performed a reset in his life. And he said, where did I make my mistake? And this is where it's helpful for us to do some introspection. The Bible says that he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and, do you know what the next word is? Forsaketh shall find mercy. Abram does some introspection. And he realizes he's failed, but he says, where was I when I was close to God? Where did I get off track? And he went back to that place. He went back to that place. The prodigal son went back to the place where he was close to his father. And that's what the Lord is calling us to do. And that's the amazing thing about grace. And this, friends, is what separates a grace-based faith from a legalistic kind of mentality that can creep into a Christian's life. When we begin to feel that God was impressed with me when I was doing good, but now I've failed, so I can't live up to it, that makes it, we give ourselves this long road that we've got to work our way back and climb our way back, when that's not what God expects of us. God expects us, He begs of us to come humbly before Him and let His work of grace renew us. That's what happened in Abram's life. He simply goes back to the place where he walked with God. He gets out of the world, he forsakes what brought him down, and he draws close to God. So let me summarize that, because I feel like I kind of went in a few circles. I just want to give us a couple of real poignant thoughts on that. What brings you down? For Abram, it was that trip to Egypt. What in your life, what in my life are those tendencies that we know lead us away from God? Confess them, forsake them. It's been said that later on, God's people all got out of Egypt, but not all of Egypt got out of God's people. Abram here has got to learn to get all of Egypt out. He leaves all of Egypt behind. What is it that we need to forsake? It's going to bring us back. And then where is it that we can draw close to God? How is it? So as Abram's life now begins to be restored, here's what happens. He renews his walk with God. Look what he does now. First thing he does, verse number 4, he doesn't just go to Bethel, but there's a specific spot. It all comes focused to a place, just a small plot of ground. And on that plot of ground, there was something there. What was it? An altar. There was an altar. There was a pile of rocks, some stones that had been built up. You picture it? The ground had been cleared out. The rocks are piled. And depending on how long it had been, there were some ashes on the top of the rocks. And Abram looked at that, and Abram remembered the time that he was close to God. And he goes back there, where he'd made an altar at the first. And there Abram called on the name of God. Of the Lord. You know what? That's it. His walk with God has now been reset. You're like, that's it? That's all that took place? Well, there was some prayer, I'm sure. There was some agony and prayer between him and God. There was some communication that took place there. But there's no long road back. Oh, Abram, now you really blew it. You're going to do this. There'll be some consequences. We talked about that. But as far as his walk with God was concerned, he's back. He is back and he is close to the Lord. Now there may be, when we wander from God, there may be some consequences that will follow us through our life, but as far as our closeness and nearness to the Lord, we can have that back immediately. And that's what we forget. We like to remind people, there will be consequences for your sin. And surely there will be. But David, he had some consequences, I tell you what. But the day, Psalm 51, the day he comes to God, he says, restore unto me the what? The joy of my salvation. It doesn't matter how bad a Christian's messed up, you can have that back in a moment of humble confession. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He renews his walk with God. And you know what? Then this path of restoration continues. He's about to make a tough choice. We're going to wrap it up here with just a few more verses. He renews his walk with God. We see Abram get back on track. Now, I mean, he's got a brand new start with the Lord. It's time to get his life now in the right direction. And friend, that's exactly what we need to do. We come off of a low point. We come off of a time of failure. We get restored with the Lord. Now it's time to stop looking back and to start pressing forward. Okay, God, what needs to happen next in my life? Well, here comes a little conflict into Abram's life, but we're going to see how he handles it. Verse number 5, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. The land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. You got the story? Lot, Abram, I mean, they're just growing and prospering, and they've got more and more animals and servants and all this. And man, for some reason, they just all can't get along. They can't get along. Well, you read a little bit more of the story, we'd probably figure out who was the source of that contention. Most likely, young Lot was the source of it, but we don't know that for sure. But regardless, there is a contention between Abram's people and Lot's people. They just can't get along. But we've got an Abram now that's walking with God by faith. Look what happens, verse 7. There was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle, the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. Verse number 8. Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. Because we're bros, man. But we be brethren, he said. Okay? Just making sure you're awake. We be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right, then I'll go to the left. Well, Abram's not very assertive here, is he? You know what? Abram knew, this is all mine anyway. God gave it to me. Lot, you look that way, you look that way. You want to go over there? Go ahead, I'll go that way. You want to go this way? I'll go that way. So Lot says, oh no, wise uncle, thou must make the decision. Thou must make the choice. Nope. Lot's like, okay, here we go. We'll look at Lot a little bit later. Not tonight, but in the future. And Lot makes a selfish choice, right? Lot has no respect really for his uncle. He's like, okay, sure. Especially, now I'm not an expert, but you and I, we've got enough basic knowledge of the customs of the ancient Near East that we know that age and patriarchy was highly respected, right? So I would just assume that Lot here is really breaking protocol, but nonetheless, Lot lifted up his eyes, verse 10, he beholds all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So it was even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. Interesting, Lot had gotten a taste for Egypt. I got to back up here for a second. We can't but wonder if Abram exposing his nephew to Egypt gave him a taste that never quite got out of his mouth. And many a Christian, and these are some of the consequences that we follow, many a believer has given their children or their family a taste of the world only, as Pastor mentioned that well oft-repeated quote this morning, what you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. We certainly see that in the way that Lot follows the example of Abram. Anyway, that's just a thought on that. Back to our main points. So verse 12, Abram dwells in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord. Yeah, verse 11, Lot chose the plain of Jordan, Lot journeyed east. I wanted to make sure I didn't skip over something, which I didn't. Okay. Verse number 14. So what's happened now is Abram's had to make a choice. He's had to separate from his nephew Lot. And what's about to happen, the last point here, is Abram is about to receive a new and a clear vision from God. But I think it's interesting to note that the next time we this is the next time we see God speak to Abram. And it's not until after he's removed from Lot. So Abram makes the difficult decision, but he's made a decision to follow the Lord this time. He doesn't work out his own situation. He walks close with the Lord. In verse number 14, he's going to receive a clear vision from God. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Okay, there it is, folks. I don't know exactly. He's there somewhere in Bethel in the mountains down in the south of Canaan, and he's up on a high place. And God says, and he's there with the Lord. Maybe this was the place where his altar was, up on a mountaintop. I'm not exactly sure. We don't know, but we know he's on the mountain. And Abram doesn't know. He sees his nephew walk away. He's not real confident in the decision that he makes. He doesn't know what's going to happen, but he knows he's honored the Lord. He knows he's done the right thing. And here comes a clear and a direct vision from God. And God says, Abram, turn around. No, Abram, keep turning around. Nope, turn around some more. 360 degrees everywhere Abram looked. That way and that way and that way. He says, I told you there was a promised land. I told you it's in the land of Canaan. I just didn't tell you it was going to be all of it. Everything you can see, Abram, that's for you, and it is for thy seed forever. We'll add something for free here, too. There's been conflict in the Middle East for thousands of years. Real simple here. Doesn't matter if the Palestinians were there first. Doesn't matter who was there first, though we know you can look at the history. The bottom line is this. God gave the land to Abraham. God gave the land to Abraham. That settles it. That's what this whole thing is about. He says, I gave it to thee and thy seed forever. And he receives a clear vision. Look at verse 16. It gets even better. And I will make thy seed, that's his offspring, by the way. Abram's a pretty old man now in his 80s. He doesn't have any kids. But God says, look everywhere. That's going to be your seed, yours and your seeds forever. And I'm going to make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, Abram, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. It's unbelievable. Abram now is going to spend the rest of his life doing what God just said, literally. What is it that God literally just said to Abram? Just read it. Walk through the land. Walk through the land. He's going to walk through the land. And everywhere he walks, he's just going to be a traveler. He's not going to put any roots down. But for the rest of his life, he's going to walk up and he's going to walk down to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. And he's going to run into other people that are living in the land. He's going to run into some Perizzites and some Amorites and some Canaanites and all the ites everywhere. And they're going to think it's theirs, but Abram's going to know, no, this is mine. God gave it to me. I know now exactly what God's given. You know, we can come to places in maturity in our Christian life. We may come through failure, but God wants to restore us. God wants to bring us back. He wants us to walk close to Him because little by little, day by day, He will give us a vision, a glimpse. I'm not talking about some miraculous thing that you might see. I'm talking about direction, steps ordered by the Lord, where He makes known unto us the direction that we're going to head. And He gives us purpose, direction, and vision for our life. I'm looking forward to, I can just tell you in my own life, that God leads little by little. And we've been talking about it. We're having y'all going to vote on us, on me, I guess, but she comes with me, all right, next week. And you know, the Lord has led us. He's guided us. when we first, when we came back here from college 10 years ago, my dad and I, we talked about it. In fact, there were several times where he said to me that he didn't think I was going to be here the whole time. You remember that? There were times where, and you know what? I didn't know. And God began to burden our hearts. And you don't know from the beginning what God's going to do. You guys don't know what God can do in your life. You don't know. But little by little, he starts to make the path clear. He starts to make the way known. But the only way Abram saw that vision was when he had enough faith to say, you know what? I really messed up this time. But God is not done with me. God is not done with my life. So I'm getting out of Egypt and I'm going back to Bethel, back to the place where God's grace was real in my life. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Do you need a clear vision tonight? Do you need God to make himself known to you? Maybe you're wandering in the land of Egypt. Maybe you've become distracted. Maybe you've taken your eyes off the Lord and you're looking to other things, other circumstances, other situations to meet the needs that only the Lord can meet. Where is that place? Where is that place that God wants to bring us back to? Would anybody say tonight, God spoke to my heart about something specific tonight? Amen. Anybody say that? Well, let's have a short time of invitation this evening. Deborah's going to begin to play. I want to encourage you to find a place. If you need to confess and forsake something, confess and forsake. If you need to make a commitment to walk closer to the Lord, let's just take a few minutes. Altar's open. I'll pray. The music will play, and we'll seek the Lord. Lord, we love you. I pray that you draw our hearts close to you. I thank you that you never give up on us. That even when our faith is weak, Lord, that you're there beside us, that we can always come back. I pray that you draw us close to you. Bless these next couple minutes that we spend with you. In Jesus' name, I pray.